A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Genovic. Aaron Valenti's dad is calling out the cops in California for botching the search for his daughter. Valenti is from Utah. She was a CEO of a tech company here. She was on a business trip to California, and I saw the Facebook post put up by her husband, Dave, late Thursday night, and I shared it right away. I felt so heartbroken for what her family was going through. She was last heard from a week ago, and she was found dead in the back of a rental car, according to a news report out of the Bay Area. It was parked in a San Jose neighborhood, and she was found dead this weekend.
Yeah, in a San Jose neighborhood, how did it take so long? I'm heartbroken for this family. I mean, of course, this is the worst possible scenario, the outcome. There was hopes, there were thoughts that if we could just find her, she'll be fine, but there's so many unanswered questions. I think that's why everyone is so unsettled.
Let's get the latest from KSL News Radio's John Rocek. He reported on this story this morning.
The family of Aaron Valenti says the 33-year-old suffered from an apparent manic episode. The CEO of Tinker Ventures was in Southern California for work, but missed her Monday evening flight home to Utah from San Jose International Airport. Her husband, Harrison Weinstein, says he last spoke to her that day.
Trying to figure out where she was. She was still saying, "I'm going to the airport," but was also bouncing off of topics.
He adds that she had no previous history of mental illness. A volunteer from a Facebook search group found Valenti dead in the back seat of her rental car in San Jose Saturday night.
No history of mental illness, but you heard the reference to a manic episode. That probably lends us to some conclusions, but why did the police not search right away? How did she die? We don't know that. And why is the family convinced that the police messed up?
Let's delve into all of those questions and look for answers this morning. We've also got a live interview with one of her very good friends lined up for the next segment. And we'll also be taking your calls on this story in about 30 minutes when it's your turn to talk. The question that we're asking, and once you listen to the story, you'll be able to make a judgment. Should police have done more? Right out of the gates. The Mercury News in the Bay Area reporting this morning, the beginning of it was a charade. That is a quote from Aaron Valenti's father, Joseph Valenti. And he went on to say, "I'm totally frustrated and PO'd right now with how that," meaning the search, "was conducted or not even conducted. The San Jose Police Department responding, we're not sharing additional details at this time since the investigation is open and ongoing. And Dave, as you know, we've been trying to get a hold of the San Jose Police Department all morning long. They finally messaged us back and saying they're not going to offer us any further comment right now on how they handled this investigation."
Yeah, I think they want to find out all of the answers first before they start doing a real deep dive into whether or not they handled this poorly. But Debbie, of course, because it's here in Utah, because it affects us, we want answers right now. We want them immediately. But the fact is, I want the right answers. I don't need them immediately. I need the right answers.
So who is Aaron Valenti? Well, friends and colleagues reacting all weekend long to reports of her missing. And then she was found dead in a Bay Area neighborhood in what we understand to be the backseat of a rental car. Her company was here in Utah. I looked it up this morning to get more information on her company, which was called Tinker. It built mobile apps, among many other things. And we're going to get an interview in the next segment with one of her friends who will be able to tell us more about what she did. But she was a powerhouse in the tech community, very well known. And news of her disappearance spun up very quickly. Her company also had an office not only in Utah, but also in Pakistan. Here's some insight from one of her colleagues during an interview that KSL Television conducted.
Yeah, I mean, she's a big deal. She and her team at Tinker, they've built over 700 products. She's one of those incredible people that's like an engineering mind and a CEO mind smashed into one. I mean, people like her don't come around very often, so everyone knows.
Yeah, impressive resume, no question. It sounds like there's a lot of travel involved. I mean, an office in Pakistan, developing mobile apps, highly competitive, Debbie. Very, very difficult to crack in because you do have some of these Middle Eastern companies. There's India is huge in the mobile app business that really undercuts prices here in the United States. I know I have a very good friend that chose to get their app developed in India because it was a fraction of the cost. So it's a very competitive business, high stress, high pressure business. So you can see that this was really a very respected and successful individual.
So Erin Valenti misses her flight back to Utah on Monday night, missed a Tech Awards banquet where she won a major award here in the Salt Lake City area on Wednesday, just didn't come up on the stage. And in the meantime, her parents go to police to report her missing and tell them about her odd behavior. There seems to have been a series of strange phone calls from Erin. Her mom quoted in a newspaper article in the Bay Area saying that they talked to her for hours on and off on Monday night, Dave, that her thoughts were disconnected. She talked a mile a minute. She'd say she was coming home for Thanksgiving, and then in the next minute she was saying she was in The Matrix, the movie. Here is a bit of audio from Valenti's husband.
My last communication was on the phone with her Monday night, so after the last person saw her. And it was on the phone trying to figure out where she was. She was still saying, I'm going to the airport, but was also bouncing off of topics.
Next, a good friend of Erin Valenti joins us live. We'll talk to him about the last time he was in touch with Erin just days before she went missing.
It's 9:14. Stick around. We'll continue this conversation in 3 minutes.
Dave and Dujanovic. Later today, Jeff Kaplan reports on the news.
The study of terrible driving cities is out, and Salt Lake City at number 6.
And he talks about the news.
It's a free-for-all.
3 to 7 on KSL News Radio.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Dave and Dujanovic.
Our producer Andrew just got off the phone with the medical examiner's office in California and asked the question, do they have a cause of death yet? In the death of Erin Valenti, who's a CEO here in Utah. She was big in the tech world. She was found dead over the weekend in the back seat of a rental car. And they told us, no, not yet. No new update on the cause of death, Dave.
Yeah, this is such a sad story, Debbie. And I think we have so many questions. And we know this happened just a few days ago. So we're anxious. But I can't imagine the anxiousness that's going on with the family right now. They want answers desperately. And I think, unfortunately, we just have to wait for a lot of these things and investigations to play out to really be able to puzzle this thing together.
As news of Erin's disappearance and then death and the discovery of her body broke, family and friends began to get frustrated. Frustrated over what they called the inaction of law enforcement in the San Jose area. We have Scott Paul. He lives here in Utah. He's on the line with us now. He's friends with Erin. Good morning, Scott.
Morning. Can you hear me?
We can, and we're terribly sorry for the loss of Erin.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a rough week for all of her friends here in Utah.
Are you equally concerned as her parents have been over how police handled or perhaps didn't handle the investigation?
Yeah, it's there's no real need to comment there. She was she was marked as voluntary missing, and anyone that knows her knows that she didn't voluntarily go missing, and things could have been different had we had to self-organize as friends in Utah. We had to self-organize and like try to do a search party 5 days after it was just too late. And that's not the way it should have gone. It should have been different.
How difficult was that to try to self-organize? Did you have any idea of how to even begin?
We didn't know. We had a spot where we knew the phone went out, and we thought cops would be, you know, doing a perimeter search, looking for license plates, looking for cars. And when we found out they were doing nothing from her family and her husband, we had a friend go up from L.A. to San Francisco to kind of be, or to San Jose to be, you know, someone on the street. Because it was definitely hard to work with the family, the husband at the time. I think they were in shock, and we weren't getting answers. So we tried to go out there ourselves. And several of us had tickets ready to go on Saturday, the day we pretty much found the news that the search is off. It's very hard to know where to show up. Some people thought she was driving back to Utah, maybe out into the desert. So we were going to go get planes up in the air, drones, everything we could. But by the time we had activated, it was too late.
Scott Paul is a friend of Aaron Valenti's. Scott, let me just update our listeners. Bear with us here for a moment. If you're just jumping in the car and joining us, Dave and I have been talking all morning long. Of course, Amanda and Tim also covering the disappearance and then discovery of Aaron Valenti. She is a Utah Tech CEO, very well known in the tech community, went on a business trip to California, went to also visit some friends in the Bay Area, and then seemingly dropped off the face of the earth when her cell phone went dead on Monday, and had made what her family and husband described as kind of a series of odd phone calls back to her parents in New York, and then to her husband here. I believe he was in Utah at the time. Scott, did you receive any odd phone calls or messages from Aaron? I mean, when's the last time you heard from her?
You know, Aaron is full of ideas, and so do I have phone calls with her that maybe other people think are odd, but to me that's Aaron. She just has ideas, lots of them. She tells you about them, but nothing out of the ordinary. In fact, she texted me on Friday, so this was as she was leaving a conference in Southern California, going up to the Bay Area, and she was on cloud nine. I mean, she was telling me, I've shared these last words on social media because I think they're pretty telling of who Aaron is, and it's all about how she's discovering what her superpowers are. She's ready to do anything. She can kind of see the future. She's ready to help her company get to the next stage. I mean, it was powerful. And so the last memories and messages I have from her are just her being Aaron, just wanting to take over the world and accomplish things. So I'm happy that I didn't have one of those distress calls that her parents and her husband had, where it sounds like she was sporadic and kind of bouncing off of lots of different ideas, and it wasn't herself. I didn't receive that call.
What was her personality like? Was she adventuresome? Did she like to go out on her own? What was her personality that you knew of her?
Yeah, adventuresome is like to the T. I mean, and very independent, very very much able to jump on a plane, go to Japan, start a company while she's in Japan. She was starting a fashion line and then comes back, works on a few, visits a few clients, and then she'll text people about, you know, some cool things she's doing on the weekend, try to get something together, people together, go float a river, go skiing. I mean, her battery was always like fully charged. I have no idea how she did it, but she was just very much an achiever, but always smiling, always laughing. So yeah, adventuresome is Aaron to the T, and she kind of brought every, you know, she was kind of contagious. Anyone that knows her or worked around her knows that she was very much just wanted to get something started, wanted to start movement, everything, creative. It was all part of Erin.
It's pretty incredible as we've learned more about her life and from the accounts that we've been told. It really does sound like a life that I almost can't relate to start a company and travel around the world. And as you just described, to almost on a whim start up another company here and there. Do you think some people outside looking in would view some of that behavior as erratic?
Absolutely. And it was erratic. I mean, she was exuberant in the every sense of the word. And I know she looked up to Elon Musk and like people who were trying to get us to, you know, Mars. That was her goal in her life. Had she been able to live a full life, she would have done things akin to Elon Musk. That was her goal, was to shoot for the stars. And so I guess outside people would say that's erratic. I think it's genius. I think it's what we need more of. And there's only a few of those people born every century. And unfortunately, she won't be able to fulfill some of those visions she had.
Scott Paul is friends with Erin Valenti. Scott, in just the few seconds we have left, what do you hope or what do you expect to happen as the investigation moves forward in California?
I don't really even want to. I just hope that everyone here is able to back at home, you know, pay their respects in a way that just allows her to commemorate her life. I don't know what's going to happen, and nothing will surprise me, honestly, just because there's just so much conjecture out there. I just hope it wasn't foul play. I hope that it was peaceful, whatever happened, and there was no struggle for her. But she's going to be missed, but I think the best thing we can do is commemorate her life and learn more about her. And we're going to go float the Provo River, something she kind of taught several people to do. And as every year as a thank you to her and a way to remember her.
Scott Paul, thank you for sharing your thoughts and your fond memories of your friend Erin Valenti, who passed away just a few days ago, a CEO of a Utah tech company. And Debbie, everyone we've heard from, glowing thoughts and remembrances. And what's unfortunate is we still don't have a lot of answers. We still don't know what happened and how she died.
Police called her voluntarily missing. A family wholeheartedly disagreed. What do you think? So many adults go missing. Should police have done more? And should they have kicked the search into action instead of labeling Erin Valenti as voluntarily missing? 801-575-7668. It's your turn to talk.
And Dujanovic. Get all news all morning, then go in-depth about the news.
Senator Romney joining us
with Dave and Debbie.
Do you think the president should reverse course on his decision to pull U.S. troops out of Syria?
Republicans and Democrats have all said this was a terrible mistake.
News at 5, talk at 9 on KSL News Radio, Utah's news station. Dave and Dujanovic.
All right, here we go.
A new conversation on KSL News Radio, 102.7 FM and 1160 AM.
Let's delve into more of the details about the Erin Valenti case. The Utah Tech CEO was found dead in the backseat of a car in the Bay Area over the weekend. Her parents, her family had reported her missing. Here's some of the details we haven't shared with our listeners yet, Dave, that her parents went to police to report her missing and report her odd behavior. They'd gotten a phone call from her on Monday, and they felt that the phone call was odd enough. And here's the information that the parents say they gave to cops. They gave her the rental car information, data on where her cell phone last pinged in the area, and yet there was no official missing report filed by police until Thursday, which was several days after she made that odd call to her parents.
Yeah, and this is a very, very difficult situation. And as we discuss this, I think we want to delve into several different angles, and we are not judging anything. We don't know what happened. We're going to find out what happens. But I think there's a few things to discuss, because the family, very, very angry at the police for not taking this more seriously, and the fact that it turned out to be tragic justifies it in their mind. This is what's difficult from a police officer's point of view. An odd phone call is different than a suspicious phone call. Trying to determine, is there a crime happening? Is she in danger? Is a little different than, did she get kidnapped or was she abducted? Was there a catastrophe that happened? Was there an accident? There's a lot of questions here that have to be answered first before the police get involved. An odd phone call might not rise to the level where the police say, okay, this is a criminal activity or something's happening. We need to all hands on deck.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about the disappearance and death of Erin Valenti. She's a Utah resident, was found dead over the weekend in California. And in the last segment, you may have missed an interview that Dave and I conducted live with one of her very good friends who last spoke with her just a couple of days before she disappeared. And here's what he said about the law enforcement response, or quite frankly, the family feels the lack of law enforcement response on the part of police in the San Jose area.
We had a spot where we knew the phone went out, and we thought cops would be, you know, doing a perimeter search, looking for license plates, looking for cars. And when we found out they were doing nothing from her family and her husband, we had a friend go up from L.A. to San Francisco to kind of be, or to San Jose to be, you know, someone on the street.
That was Scott Paul. He is Erin Valenti's friend. And they were frustrated here because they were trying to organize a search from here and felt like they were on an island by themselves. And I think, Dave, it depends on which police officer or police department you talk to. You'll get a different response. For example, you and I both received texts from friends of ours who are police officers during the last segment. The text I got said this sounds like lazy police work on the part of the police department in California. The text you got said something much different. My text said lazy police work. They should have searched the area where the cell phone was pinged. That's not too much to ask of a police department when a loved one goes missing.
And that's certainly their opinion, right? So we wanted to look into how often this happens. So I looked into the California database to find out how often do adults go missing in California. Because I think that's an important thing to find out is adults go missing, and why do they go missing? So
what'd you find?
The numbers were staggering,
really?
Debbie. I mean, they were staggering. In California alone, last year, they had 43,000 people go missing. I mean, just let that sink in, folks, just for a moment. We're talking about one person. CEO, Utah Tech Company, well-respected, very successful woman, Erin Valenti. She is one of 43,000 people that went missing. And how many of those are voluntary or voluntarily go missing?
Which was what she was categorized.
Which is what she was categorized. And to give you an idea, 37,000 in California went missing. And it was deemed to have gone missing voluntarily. 37,000, that's 86% of all missing adults do so by choice. Now, are some of those misclassified? I'm sure there is. But to give you an idea, that is a huge number. That is a staggering number in my eyes. And as we're speaking to police officers, they're feeling... is how would you investigate 37,000 every single year of adults that go missing voluntarily?
Let's go back to some of those details, though, that family gave police. There was the rental car info, which I felt as though perhaps a rental car would have some sort of a GPS tracker on it. I mean, I'm assuming it's a newer rental car, and a lot of those the rental car companies have trackers on them. I don't know if that was accessed. They gave them data on where her cell phone last pinged. And we don't know yet, because police aren't talking in depth about this case. We don't know if they drove around the neighborhood looking for the car where her cell phone last pinged. There seemed to be some confusion, too, on the part of friends as to whether Erin was driving back home. But by the time she missed her flight and then she missed a big awards banquet, let me play a clip. It was to happen here. There's a colleague who said she just didn't show up to the Women Tech Awards last week here in Salt Lake City to get the big award that she was given.
The Women Tech Awards is a very big deal. She and I went to all of the preliminary interviews and everything for it. She was very excited about it. She submitted her photos for the video. She submitted her bio for the video. She was very much planning on being there, had, I'm sure, life been as normal. So it's very strange that she wasn't there at all.
No question. Very strange, very disturbing. I would imagine from the parents and the family's point of view to watch this, because nobody knows them better than the family. So you would know what an odd phone call is. You would know what is erratic behavior. Sometimes outside looking in, when you're describing someone, you might think, oh, that's really strange behavior. Like, oh, no, that's just who they are. So you're kind of balancing this in this juggling act of what is really going on, because there are very, very few facts out there that they knew other than they just had this feeling. It felt odd. It felt off. She would have shown up to this. And that's what I think makes it so frustrating and so scary. And I would imagine, Debbie, that we will get some pretty concrete answers here very shortly.
As always, our commitment to our listeners, we're going to continue to follow the story, the disappearance and death of Utah Tech CEO Erin Valenti. San Jose police telling us this morning they are not releasing any additional details at this time, but we promise we're going to stick with that story. Next, we've got medical marijuana advocates calling out the state of Utah for its warning about vaping, THC, and people dying. We've got a live interview. We're going to ask them why they're so worried.
Dave and Dujanovic. Are you asking for Dave and Debbie everywhere?
Just say, Alexa, play KSL News Radio.
And stream them on your phone. The KSL News Radio app.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLpodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.